At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's a football. If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where we are re-enrolling in high school physics because our orientation about physics has completely been changed by the shot from Kevin De Bruyne, which I'm still trying to understand if it obeys the standard laws of physics or not. Joining me as always from London on a slightly brighter Monday evening or afternoon is Karan.
Hey guys.
Although things might not be looking that bright in North London, or maybe it's just Tottenham enjoying a little bit of a slip up from Arsenal for once. And
they won the trophy for their season.
And from Bangalore, of course, with today the display name reading Bring Back Moyes, and that was quite the game, the David Moyes Memorial Derby, which ended 2-2. It is Vishal.
Hey guys, hey, let's be honest, every club Moyes has managed after United has only gone up, and cannot say that about us.
Amazingly, he's engineering quite the turnaround at Everton, 1-2-2 draw at a time, but... but nonetheless, we are not necessarily focused on those. We are focused, of course, on two big results at which perhaps have affected the state of the title race. And we'll talk about both of them, gentlemen, because the first one, of course, is Arsenal dropping points. And we have some choice words about that, unfortunately. And beyond that, we also want to talk about Manchester City versus Liverpool. 10 years, I think, the last time Liverpool had a league win at Etihad. And the next one to get it is Arne Slot. So... You know, whether it is a continuation of Klopp's legacy or has he exited Klopp already, you decide. So Liverpool, of course, beat City, but we'll come to that in a second. But before that, like we spoke about in the last podcast, we were talking about the fact that Liverpool had that little wobble with the Wolves result that they had to, well, struggle to grind out. And before that, the Merseyside derby had ended 2-2. Which got a lot of people talking about the so-called tottering or blip for Liverpool. Of course, what happened was now we are ending this week with Liverpool 11 points ahead, albeit they have played a game more now. But I want to quote from Guardian's Barry Glendening in the daily newsletter and what he wrote. So he said, the fact of the matter is that Liverpool's recent blip was little more than a figment of the fevered collective imagination. While most of us have been watching football for far too long to underestimate Arsenal's comically unerring capacity to blunderbuss themselves in both feet, while the criticism of Mikel Arteta's side must be accompanied by the now obligatory caveat that they are missing four of their most talented attacking players through injury. Any team with serious delusions of title-winning grandeur does not have any business losing at home to a West Ham side that, Football Daily checks notes, are also missing four of their most talented attacking players through that. So... So quite the excoriation of... Arsenal there, and naturally, I mean, this is an Arsenal side which had beaten West Ham in the last two games, I think, by a combined margin of about 11-0 or thereabouts. This is a West Ham side that was sitting at number 16, and if any of the other three clubs had not been absolutely atrocious, probably should be sitting in the relegation zone. And of course, Arsenal managed to not just lose to them, I mean, at the Emirates 1-0, but also managed to finish the game with 10 players, thanks to a red card. So, quickly, gentlemen, a reflection on Arsenal, because we were talking about Arsenal in very hopeful tones not 3 episodes ago.
I think that's them summarized, because sure, injuries, all of that count. Everybody's got some level of injury going. Nobody's got their full squad together. But that performance was, it goes back to what Liverpool did the game against Wolves, right? It was not the best performance, but they went ahead and scrapped the result out. And that's really the mark of a team that's there to win the league. I think that's where Arsenal are genuinely lacking, where they just lack that final character, that final personality within players, within leadership to grind out that result as when required the most. So I'm not surprised. I'm genuinely not surprised, because I think we've seen it over the last 3 years, where this is really where they fall short almost every year when it comes to grinding results.
Yeah, and this was supposed to be a tougher run in a sense for Liverpool. In fact, Liverpool's tests are still not over. They are two-thirds of the way through that. There was, of course, the game against Villa, and then the game against City, which I'm going to talk about now, and obviously the game against Newcastle to come. So, Vishal, thoughts on the City game? I mean, I think the game started just after the India-Pakistan cricket game finished in the Champions Trophy, and Karan messaged on the group saying, "Death taxes and a Kohli century against Pakistan in an ICC event,"
Police chasing.
especially when chasing. And I responded, and honestly, I'm not given to, making such pronouncements, but I responded saying, "Now we get ready for death taxes and Mo Salah against a club in Manchester." And it did
Absolutely.
not even take 15 minutes for that promise to be delivered. I mean, surely it could not have been that easy, Vishal.
Yeah, clearly a night of one-sided games for sports yesterday, both for India and Liverpool. So it was that easy. I think Liverpool absolutely bossed that game. It could have been a lot more. Could have been a. I think like the Wolves game was significantly harder for Liverpool. They had a lot more to try and achieve from the Wolves game as compared to City game. City were just completely out of sorts. Looked like they didn't belong there. Looked like they didn't want to be there. Like a bunch of those players weren't even really trying after a point, so it was quite the disappointment
Yeah,
to watch City.
and I just want to point out one very remarkable stat that, I think Oktar, one of these guys, pointed out that since records have been kept of especially information about players being dribbled past in a game, Trent Alexander-Arnold put in such a bad shift
I saw that as well.
that he got dribbled past, I think, 8 times, which is apparently a record since this particular stat has been kept. I had to read the stat twice because I thought they were talking about something good that Trent Alexander-Arnold did, given what the game felt like and given the result. But I mean, on a day when Trent was, I mean, close to his atrocious worst, City could not really make it count. So again, current tactical errors, or like Vishal says, they've just sort of given up broadly. Like, where, how do we explain this? How do we make sense of this?
I mean, there's nothing to explain. I think we've explained it like hundreds of times, I would say, in recent episodes. It's literally a blueprint in how not to play
Yeah, that is correct.
in the situation
Just
that you find
reminding
yourself.
listeners again that our leading theory at the moment still remains the Alan Parsons theory. So second leading theory, Karan.
Enough. Fair enough. No, again, I think we've discussed this before as well. They don't have the players to play the way that they're trying to do that right now. They don't have a plan B. And more than anything else, the kind of season that they've had, and like Vishal said, they don't even have the motivation to even try anymore. And I, in fact, I was watching Slot's interview at the end of the game, and he said that, look, we were fine. Yes, fair enough. They were kind of, dominating possession at certain points of time, but at no point of time did we ever feel threatened because most of the passing was done like almost 30 meters away from our goal. So that therein lies the problem. I mean, it's all well and good, having all your passes done, but if you're not going to be decisive about it, there's no point whatsoever. And it all was kind of encapsulated with that one physics-defining shot by De Bruyne.
Which and again just to add to that astonishing stat that about the passing that Liverpool had 33% possession, which is not surprising against City. I mean, many teams have that, but to have 33% possession and absolutely boss the game, like if anybody were just looking at the stats card at the end of the game and had not seen the match, would look at the number of City attempts and the possession and things like that, and you'd think, not bad. Like
I
they
don't
dribbled
think
past.
I cannot, for the life of me, I cannot recall even a single occasion where Alisson was really kind of challenged. Not a single
Not one bit.
occasion, not
The
one
whole
bit.
Liverpool team, like I think
Yeah.
Tariq Sir called it spot on. When most times when Trent Alexander has an off night, the other team tends to win or draw, or Liverpool tend to struggle. It didn't matter. It did not matter.
I mean, Liverpool basically played with 10 men, same as Arsenal.
And it was amazing. And you knew that Liverpool had bossed the game because not a single Liverpool fan was talking about Trent at the end of the game at all. Other days, we are ready to excoriate Trent for lesser evil. But somehow his worst game of the season has flown under the radar. And also because it's a return for Liverpool to the clean sheet. Remember, even Wolves scored against them. Obviously, Villa showed the value of keeping up the attack and the pressure on Liverpool. Not least, the same was done by Everton, but obviously not here because they kind of got away with a relatively easy ride. Like Vishal says, Alisson in goal was barely even tested. They had that one probably legit shot at goal, but even that involved Omar Marmoush going offside way too early. Did not even need VAR for that one. He clearly knew straight away that it was offside. So and this coming on the heels of course, the dumping out of the Champions League quite comprehensively against Real Madrid for Manchester City. So, Vishal, you had thoughts on people talking about Manchester City being in quote unquote rebuild phase.
Guys, a question for both of y'all. When was the last time a team was in rebuild phase was worth 1 billion?
No,
And
I think that is it.
spent like a fifth of a billion in the
Yeah.
January
Like,
window. The
I think
current City
Manchester
squad
City,
is worth 1 billion euros.
Manchester City's GDP is probably more than most countries.
But
Like,
we're
I cannot believe the narrative that English media are driving, right? Like, I know that shit, but to actually come out and say this Manchester City team, because they have two couple of players who are injured, are in rebuild, then my God, what is Manchester United in what are they in exile? Like, what's the parallel to that? That's the most rubbish take I have heard in a while, where you like, why don't you just call a team what it's doing right now? They are being absolute shit. Like, why are you making excuses? If this was Liverpool who was struggling, they would have been calling for Slot's head right now. But here they're Ironically,
calling
it's
for
Liverpool. Ironically, it's Liverpool who are actually rebuilding phase, if you think about it.
absolutely. It is
And
just.
every rumor about Liverpool going after a player is kind of Liverpool are studying this player, Liverpool are looking at this player, Liverpool have made inquiries about this player. And meanwhile, we have City. So, does that again reflect sort of how warped some of the conversation has become because of the monies involved in a lot of football, that we have been so desensitized to the general idea that you cannot even go and call, it's sort of standing in front of Trump Tower and talking about architecture because I
I
mean,
think
on the face of
I
it.
think in many ways you could say that, City are kind of a victim of their own success. Because, let's not take away what they have achieved so far before the season. Four league titles in a row is no joke. And even before that, they'd won, I think, two or
Don't
three
think
in a row,
anybody is. I
right?
don't think anybody is taking that away from them, right?
Yeah.
It is
But the
just that
fact
if they're
is,
having an off season, let's call it
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So as much as they deserve a lot of compliments for what they've achieved, they deserve the equal amount of derision for the way they're playing the season. And a few injuries, like Vishal said, does not excuse the fact that they are still not capable of. Okay, basically, are you telling me that the City squad, which is apparently one of the most well-built, most expensive squad in world football, they have a few injuries and they don't have backup plans to kind of, come and solve issues?
Right.
It's
They spent
unbelievable.
150 million this January transfer window for backup
Exactly.
players.
And 150 million. And we all know what January
In
transfer window is
January.
basically. I mean,
Meanwhile, United have to go to a school and lift a whole bunch of school kids and make them sit at Old Trafford for an entire game.
and they're apparently, talking about closing down their staff canteen and giving them some fruit.
Which of
They
course
are in exile.
is a different discussion altogether,
Yeah, but
as far as the Glazers in United go. But again, it brings us to the larger question, of course, that if you are looking at this as a genuine City fan, I mean, it kind of feels like a disservice.
a genuine what?
What is that?
It's known as a Gallagher.
Oh God, sorry, I could not stop myself there.
I mean, there's been so much trolling
And
going on in this episode, we missed talking
Vishal has lost us the entire Gen Z audience that we were trying to build for the expansion of this podcast. But again, well, at least theoretically, a genuine City fan. I mean, it kind of feels like a disservice or a disrespect that they have been kind of this cavalier with a slide this season. But so let's look ahead to next season. And do you feel that they're in a good enough position to kind of turn it around, or is this something longer or potentially deeper?
Not at all, right? Because most of these players are going to be back next season. Some are in long-term injuries, some are going to be back towards the end of this season itself. So it's not going to be, it's not a great situation in any sense, shape, or form. But however, because they are rebuilding, they might spend another 300 million to bring in a few more backup players, because Manchester City. And in case they screw up, don't worry. You have the English media who are going to back it up, saying, don't worry, this is just a phase of rebuild. They are our blue-eyed boys and everything is going to be fine. As opposed to another team, for example, a Liverpool, for example, Arsenal, who by some twist of fate have a terrible season next season, are going to be slaughtered, absolutely slaughtered. Managers sacked, players not good enough, leadership non-existence. All of that is going to be brought into question by City. Don't worry. Fair play.
Or to add one extra word before it, financial fair play, which of course remains the bone of contention amidst all of this. But obviously there is still stuff to happen this season, and it would be interesting to see what is a packed week again incoming. With a big game, Liverpool, Newcastle, absolutely the team which are currently the form team. They played out a very entertaining game against Nottingham Forest in the sense that the race to a 4-1 lead, only for the game to become 4-3, but pretty late in the day for Forest to have turned it around. Once again, from Liverpool's point of view, does a job done against Newcastle pretty much mean they can relax, or you think, given what Slot has been talking about and given their tendency,
I mean,
they will be much more professional about this and obviously see the title race to the end?
they definitely won't be relaxing, that's for sure. I mean, that goes without saying,
Yeah,
but
nobody is looking up early raids for buses to parade through Liverpool City yet.
True. But having said that, I think the situation that they find themselves is they've earned themselves a scenario where they could afford to drop some points here or there and they'd still be fine. And plus, Arsenal are kind of making it that much more easier for them as well, week after week. So, having said that, I think now is when it's going to be critical for them. While, yes, we have the pretty much the season end run in when it comes to the league title, we also have the Champions League coming up very soon, where Liverpool are going to be quite optimistic about that competition, considering the fact that, their squad is definitely not as big as Manchester City's B squad. It could be a case where they might have to kind of start rotating a bit more, but they have now gained that earned rather the opportunity to do that with the lead that they have in the team in the league table right now.
Right. So, of course, that game against Newcastle, and they have a cup game against Newcastle, and then the Champions League game. So, it will be interesting to see how they approach it. Vishal, quick last word on the other team that you talked about, which was Arsenal. I mean, honestly, what do Arsenal do from here? What would be their focus? Because obviously, it's disappointing as to what has happened thus far. But is there anything that Arteta can do to sort of turn things around, or at least make it worth the while for long-suffering Arsenal fans, as we read out from The Guardian?
Unlikely. I think again it's going to be another season of almost there. They really need to sit back and take notice about the fact that they don't have a genuine striker. It is absolutely the reason why they're not winning leagues at this point in time. You can underrate it, play Havertz wherever the hell you want him on the field, but without a genuine striker who's going to assure you 25 goals, you are not going to win the league. So they need to look inwards. They need to look at who they're going to bring into the team going forward, because this is not working clearly. They have almost everything, but not everything. So it's going to be another disappointing end to the season for Arsenal fans. And at this point, even management is going to start questioning Arteta, I guess, because 4 years, at some point you're expected to make that tweak, because it's not the lack of money, it's not the spending of money, all of it is available. It might just be the identification of the player, so there's going to be some pressure on him as well. So let's see how that pans out. But yeah, well done to Liverpool. Looks like they've got their heads firmly screwed onto their shoulders, and we'll see this through. And like Karan rightfully said, we'll also give them some mind space to focus on the Champions League and maybe give it a serious push.
Yeah, I think it only remains to be seen as to what happens in the Newcastle game, because I have a feeling a lot would be decided by what happens there. And of course, we'll be there to bring you the reaction and the aftermath of that game again from the Soccer Sense perspective. But for now, we will pack up our Soccer Sense meter and put it away, because that's all the time we have this week. We shall be joining you, well, soon enough next week, not just to talk about what happens in the Premier League, but also look forward to the Champions League again, which should be an interesting set of games, including, like Vishal mentions, probably one of those last places where Arsenal can still seek some energy or push. In fact, Arsenal and Liverpool seem to be going in opposite directions that way, that Liverpool are looking at their cushion in the league for the headspace to kind of be able to focus on the Champions League. Arsenal could be looking at focusing on the Champions League and using that energy to parkour off back into the Premier League title race. But as anybody French knows, not least Arsene Wenger, that parkour is not easy. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. All right, this is Tariq signing off along with Karan
You guys.
and Vishal.
I think Manchester should cancel football.
And again, get back to textile.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free. Select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.